My friends, will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, some might be confused. It's Laity Sunday and the pastor's preaching. That doesn't seem right. But our laity did such a great job bringing the message last week that this morning for Laity Sunday, I wanted to bring a message to the laity and be able to utilize this time to honor you, to thank you, and to bless you. And so here on Laity Sunday, like Becky explained, we honor all of the lay people, and except Pastor Patty that's in this room, that's all of you. And Becky's absolutely right as she began to put the papers in my hand and couldn't even begin to scratch the surface of what all has to be done week by week in this church. All of the work that is done by volunteers and staff of this church, which, speaking of staff, I have to tell you that we have the most phenomenal staff, and I give thanks to each and every one of you that blesses this church with your talents and gifts, but also your heart and your passion that you bring, and this church wouldn't be what it is without each of you. Am I right, church? Amen? We can applaud, too. But it's not just those that are paid. If we had to pay everybody that worked at this church, from doing the financial stuff to make sure bills get paid, from counting money to logging money to writing checks, the people that come in and are doing all of the little things throughout the week, if we had to pay the ushers and the greeters and the readers, if we had to pay the people that make sure that tables and chairs are set up every week and taken down when they need to be, if we had to pay everybody that made sure that there was food on Sunday morning, if we had to pay everybody that teaches Sunday school and helps in our children and youth programs, if we had to pay everybody that sang in the choir, if we needed to pay everybody that's doing paperwork and following all of the procedures that need to be, if we were paying everybody that went and visited people and prayed with people, if we had to pay the people that were going out to visit people to make sure they're taking their medication and that they're as healthy as they could be, if we were paying everybody that served on a committee, if we were paying everybody that helped in worship, if we paid everybody that came and made sure that the flowers were watered and trash was picked up, if we paid everybody that came out for work days, for cleaning up and sprucing up the property. I could go on for the whole 12-minute service listing, but the fact remains, we couldn't afford to pay for all of that. And so why is our church what our church is? Because of all of the people that give of their time, their energy, and their talents. The people that give back to God through giving of their time in this church. And so first of all, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for what you do in this church, even if it's just being in worship here on Sunday mornings. That's being a part of this church and giving what you have to it. And so I give you thanks for that, for being the laity of this church and making this church as spectacular as it is. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Patty. But I have to tell you, I was thinking about this laity thing, and I was like, so what exactly is it that we're called to do as the laity? And so I went into this story in Luke that's pretty close to the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And what does Jesus do? But he sends out either the 70 or 72, depending on which version of the Bible you're reading. What does he do? He sends them out. And why does he send them out? Because even though Jesus is God incarnate, that it is God in human form, he knows his hand is only so big to hold only so many responsibilities. He only has 3 years to touch as many lives as he can. Only 3 years to spread the news of the new covenant and the good news of what God is doing. He only has 3 years to expose people to who he is before what he does upon the cross. And he knows that even though he's God, he can't do it all by himself. And so he commissions 70 to 72 faithful followers, and he sends them out and he says, "Be my hands and feet. There you go. I need you to be a part of this ministry." And right there, we have the commissioning of the first group of laity, the first lay ministers sent to be God's hands and feet in this world. And now, what is it that they are commissioned to do? The same commissioning that we read. Well, first of all, we have to look and see that he does not send them by themselves. He doesn't say, go as individuals, go each one of you to all the corners of the earth. No, he says, go in pairs, right? Why would Jesus say, go in pairs? Because we are intended to be a team. We are not intended to be lone rangers or mavericks, but God has designed us to be in community. He has designed us to be in support of one another. He's designed us to work together. He's designed us to be a part of something bigger than just ourselves. This is a great reminder of it, isn't it? Diane isn't out there alone, but Diane is supported and loved by each one of us. And so when we can't send anything else, we send our prayers so that she is not alone and that this quilt can constantly be a reminder of that. But I know that's not always easy. I'm an individualistic type person by personality. I think it comes from being a tomboy that was always trying to keep up with the boys. I wanted to play sports with the boys after school and weekends. All I wanted to be doing was playing baseball and football and street hockey, you name it. It was with the boys. But what did that mean, being a scrawny little skinny girl playing with the boys when most of them were older than me? It means I had to prove even more than the boys that I deserved to be there. I had to be better. I had to be faster. I had to hit the ball as hard as I could. And I had to be aggressive. And so here I was, always proving myself out there. I did a pretty good job of it, I would like to say. But it ingrained in me, you know what? You've got to do it. And you've got to prove yourself. And that instinct still somewhat kicks in. I needed to build a platform for Aiden's bed. His mattress has been on the floor. And I decided I could do this, right? And so I went to Lowe's and I bought the lumber I needed to take part of the bunk bed that had been taken apart to build this box, and then the plywood could go on top of it, okay? I had this whole design in my head, which should really scare you because I am really not an engineer. That, and I don't own any power tools, so here I am out there with the saw, hand sawing 2x4s, which is better than when the mailman laughed at me trying to hand saw the 4x4s for Maddie's bed that I rigged up for her. But here I am out there and sawing the wood all by myself, and I get out the brackets and I get the first two pieces put together, and suddenly I realize I'm in trouble as I'm trying to balance this vertical board and use the one power tool I do have is an electric screwdriver. And as I'm trying to screw this board in while holding it, knowing this has to be a sturdy structure for my son to sleep in, right? And as I'm stripping every screw that goes in, okay, so you can laugh at me. This is how bad I am, but this is how much I love my son and how cheap I am all at the same time. And so here I am, because it's cheaper to buy one 2x4 than to buy an entire bed frame, y'all. So here I am, and I suddenly realize I'm in trouble. I can't do this by myself. And even if I somehow, by a miracle of God, get this thing built all by myself to where it's sturdy, I can't carry it in the house all by myself. And so I had to be humble enough to say, I need help. And those words don't always easily come out of my mouth because I think my hand is big enough that I can handle it all, okay? I'm mom, I'm supposed to be a superhero. I can do everything and my kids need to see that. But I need to realize that my kids need to see that I work with people, that I'm part of a team, that I don't have to do it all by myself, that God has put people around me to help me. And that doesn't make me weak to ask for help, but that makes me stronger because of what we have together. And that's how God has designed us as the church, and that's how God has designed the laity to be, as we see right from here. You know, in Ecclesiastes, what does he say? One cord can be easily broken, two is strong, but three cannot easily be broken. when we're not out for the mission of one, but when we're working together, when we're building a team, when we're cooperating and working together, we become stronger. As we saw an army build a rummage sale and sell to the community, welcoming people and greeting them in the name of Christ, that was a team and could only have been done as a team and showed what we accomplished because we worked together. That's the power of the laity. When the laity sees that we have a common mission in who we are as a church, and we unify together under that mission and say, this is our common goal, and we work together to get there. And then amazing things happen. I've seen it over and over again. You know, a church that only has $100 in the plate, it can do amazing things. That church didn't have money. That church was just scraping by. But it was amazing what they accomplished when they worked together. That church, one of the things I loved is when things seemed like they weren't going well, when it seems like the waves were rougher than usual, when it seemed like things were off, what would happen? But they would say, Pastor, it's time to pray. And I say, absolutely, you're right. And we would gather after church, and one member, she was in charge of the oil. And she would bring the oil, and I would bless the oil, and everybody would take a palm full of oil, and we'd go all over the church. And we would pray for God's blessing. We would pray for God's guidance. We would anoint every surface of that church. I don't even want to know how many gallons of church are in the walls and seats and tables of that church, because it was a regular practice. But when they came together in prayer, seeking God's guidance as a church and as a laity, because like I said, this was them saying, this is what we do, Pastor, and this is what we need to be doing. And God never failed. Things got back on track. God gave answers, and we knew what we were doing because we came together as one body seeking God to be the captain, the leader, the CEO, whatever you want to name him. And we came together as one body under him. Two by two, because we're not meant to do this alone. But then what is it that we're doing? What is it that the mission is? And I find it interesting, okay? Number one, here's the Methodist struggle. God did not say go out and form a committee. God did not say go out and write a budget. God did not even say go out and have a potluck, did he? But God said, go out and bring peace. Did you hear that that was the first thing? He said, go, and when you get to a town, announce, I have come to bring peace. I come with God's peace. How much of that are we needing right now? In the unrest that there is, and in the midst of so much tragedy that's happening, and so many divisions within this world and this country that we live in, how desperate are we for people to walk in that say, I come to be the presence of peace. I don't come for division. I don't come for controversy. I don't come to fuel one side or the other. I come to bring God's peace. Those are some of the most valuable people there can be. The one that's the calming presence. The one that says, I am here for God. And besides peace, what is God? But God is love. To say, that's what I desire to embody. And that's the presence God's called us to be. How do I be the presence of peace? But that, again, isn't always easy. That always isn't always accepted. You know, a couple weeks ago, my doorbell rang. And I'm wondering, who in the world is ringing my doorbell just before dinner time on Wednesday? I don't get visitors at my house. But here's my doorbell ringing. So I wander the door and I open it up, and here's this nicely dressed young gentleman at my door, okay? And immediately, I know who he is and what he's doing, okay? And he tells me, "Good evening. Have you heard about the good news?" You're all going, "Mormon or Jehovah's Witness?" The answer is Jehovah's Witness. So he asked me if I've heard the good news. And my response is, "Well, I'm a pastor, so I really hope so." Doesn't even faze him. He's got his script memorized. He couldn't have been more than 18. I'd be surprised if he was 18. Obviously very new at this. And immediately launches into a script. "Well, I've got this great video to tell you about the good news. Can I show you my video?" "Sure, I would love to see your video on the good news. I'm interested to know what you have to share." So he shows me his video. "Well, wasn't that a great video?" "Yeah, that was a very well done video." "So can I tell you more about the good news?" "Sure, I'd love to hear more about the good news." And so he shared with me, and then he had this thing with all these brochures. "Well, if I left you one of these brochures about the good news, which one would you be interested in?" It's got all about Jehovah's Witness and God and all these. And I said, "Well, number 4 talks about Jesus Christ. I'm always willing to hear more about Jesus Christ." "Well, that's a fantastic choice, the one about Jesus Christ. How about if I leave you the brochure about Jesus Christ, and maybe next week I can check back in and see what you thought about the good news of Jesus Christ?" I said, "Well, sure, I would love to read the brochure about what you believe in Jesus Christ and the good news that he is." And so he gave me the brochure, and he said, "Thank you so much. I will see you next week." I said, "Well, I look forward to seeing you too next week." And the older gentleman that's obviously the mentor behind him, the young man's finished his script, and he goes, "So, what church do you pastor at?" Obviously, he picked up on it, and I told him where, and he said, "All right, well, blessings to you." And I told them, well, I said, "Well, I send my blessings with you. And I pray that more doors open for you than slam in your face." It would have been so easy for me to have said, "No, thank you. I'm a pastor. I've got my own church." But the way to be peace in God's presence was the opportunity to allow this young man to work on the job that God had sent him to do. There they were, 2 by 2. Going to share the good news, and I could not even imagine how hard it is to cold call knocking on doors and to go through that script. But for me, what I could do for them was to have peace and patience, encouragement, and to send them with blessings. And so that's what I did. But I thought about all those doors that do slam in their face. All those people that don't have patience or compassion and have words that maybe are not the most appropriate that are given to them. And even if we're knocking on doors, we can be the ones that receive the slamming of door. The people that get upset at us, the people that wrong us. And what do we do in those situations? Jesus has answered. He says, when the peace is not returned, what do? But you go out in the street and you say, the dust of this town, I brush off my robes. What does that mean? It says, I don't take you with me. And I move on in my mission. I don't carry the grudge. I don't carry the ill will. I don't carry judgment. But I say, that one's in God's hands. I'm moving on to somebody who's needing the peace and love of Jesus through my presence. What does that do for us? It leaves us with peace instead of all those hard feelings. Sometimes there's things we need to let go of so we can continue on in the mission that God's given us. To say, today's a new day. This is a new mission. This is a new person. This is a new place, and I invite God to open the door of where I need to go to serve him and be present for him. These are the things we do as the laity. Within this, it says, be the presence of peace. He gives them the instructions to go and heal people and to serve people. And within that time of giving peace and healing and service, he says, be willing to accept hospitality. Be willing to be served in the meantime. Be willing to allow people to feed you and care for you as you go on this journey and this mission that's before you. Accept what people have to offer, and God will be present with you. You are the laity of this church. God has given you a mission. And it might be how you're serving in this church. It might be how you're serving in your family. It might be how you're serving at your work. It might be how you're serving at your job. But the question is, when God calls you, what's your answer? The sermon stewardship series is I'm in. And just this week, an email string went out about a conference meeting that I need to attend. And it went out and said, who's going to be able to be there? And one of the conference employees responded with just two words, and he said, I'm in. And so as God calls you to be of his mighty laity, to be one of his servants that provides peace, love, healing, and service to those around you, the question this stewardship season is, are you in? And are you involved? Amen.